Hello, everyone. We're long tossing today on this Sunday. San Francisco is May 21st. Steven Strom here with Kelly Sacco and Kyle Seeloff. Thanks for joining us today. Very excited. Hello, everyone. How's Hi, everything going?
Well, you sound a little sarcastic, and you sound
really
like a little down in the dumps. So I hope everything's okay with you. I'm doing great.
I'm exhausted, but you know what? I'm happy I'm here. I'm happy we're here in San Francisco. This is my second favorite ballpark that I've seen so far behind Wrigley Field. But this isn't about me. Let's talk about whatever we want to talk
about.
Wait,
I do want to hear, though, what this list is. How many have you been to first? Let's do the count.
With the Marlins or outside?
In general.
Just in general.
In general, so the ballpark count.
Yankee, City, Marlins, Miller
Lone
Park.
Depot.
Yes, Lone Depot. Sorry, Kyle. Miller Park when it was Miller Park in Milwaukee.
Right, American
Chase
Family
Field.
Now.
Those are the ballparks that I went to without the Marlins. And now with the Marlins, it's been Atlanta, Cleveland, Wrigley, San Francisco. What else am I missing? Because I'm very tired right now.
Well, I would actually like to ask about the tired thing. Because I am a little concerned as we are set to embark on the 47th game of the season.
Yeah.
That you, once a week or twice a week, do explain how tired you are. So is that going to be something I have to concern myself with
no,
this summer?
No,
but why
no,
are you
I'm still
tired?
Here.
No, listen, we went out last night. Why are you tired? You even left before us.
We came out, you know, we came back later. You're the youngster.
I know.
He's the youngster
of the group.
So what
happened? Why are you so tired? Did you go out and get frisky in the mean streets of San Francisco?
No, I don't know why. Like, I think it might have been the cold last night. It was colder than I thought it was. I think maybe that took a toll on me.
The cold made you tired.
Jersey guy. You know, you're Jersey tough.
Yeah. So well, not anymore. No, definitely not. I've gotten so soft with the weather now.
You left Jersey how long ago?
September of 2021, I moved down to
you got soft
South.
Your blood thins.
Yeah. Absolutely.
When you come down there.
I don't know. And I went to sleep at 11:30. I woke up at 7:30 today. I thought I'd feel, you know, up and ready. But
you got 8 hours of sleep.
I know. I got my 8 hours. It's unbelievable. But here I am today.
Maybe it's like payback for leaving us early. Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe it was. But I was feeling
decided to
it.
Ditch out early.
Yeah, I was feeling it. Like,
so now you're paying back for
it. Maybe.
It was nice that you joined us last night, though, after you ditched us in Arizona.
Joined you? You ditched us in, where were we?
Chicago.
Both
yeah,
of you.
Yes, we did.
That was a guy's night out in Chicago that I didn't want to be a part of. But we don't have to rehash that.
It's okay, Kyle. I too ditched out on
let
that.
Let me tell you why. Because when you get a group of men together, they are inherently stupid. And when you put a female in a room of men, no, this is a fact. You have a smirk on your face. When you put a woman in a room full of men get smarter when a woman is around.
I can agree with that.
That is a study, and those are facts. When a group of men are inherently stupid together, and when you put a woman in a room full of men, a board meeting, a major league clubhouse, everybody gets a little bit smarter. So.
And that's why I'm here in the booth with you guys.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
Because the last two podcasts, when it was me, Steven,
Gabby.
And Rod. Not Rod.
Gabby
and then Nellie. I thought they were good.
Yeah.
But I think this one could really take the cake.
Well, we went out to dinner yesterday, which was Saturday night, in a place called, I'm going to butcher this, Sausalito.
That was good.
Sausalito. Now, where is Sausalito? Was that north? I don't know where. I just got
northeast.
On the ferry and I just went.
Yep, that was northeast. You had to loop around Alcatraz, which I also wanted to bring to the table
Please.
This morning. How long do you, no, this is a group discussion. How long do you think you'd survive in prison?
Not long.
I believe that. At least you're honest.
Is there a particular reason why you don't think you'd do well?
Week and a half, I give them.
The food would be concerning.
I don't want to work out a lot.
I know.
That would be something right up your alley.
Good thing. I'd be doing like pull-ups and stuff like that. But then, you know, they would see
because you have said yourself you're a bit of a pretty boy. And that's not to be rude.
I'm not.
So that probably
That
probably wouldn't end well in prison.
I'm a pretty. Here's the thing about me though. Like I'm a pretty boy, and I fully admit that.
Uh-huh.
But once you know I get in the gym, like when I told you I was benching with Jay Hart.
Okay. Continue.
Then
makes me
all
cringe.
Of a sudden people look at me differently. It's like this guy. He walks in the gym, and it's like. It's all business. You know what I'm saying? But then outside, it's like
I like the beach. I like tanning. We've talked about that.
All right.
But
short shorts.
Short shorts. But
it's all about it.
Butterfly tattoo. But
I'm getting one. I think we're going to have matching butterfly tattoos.
Where are you getting yours?
On your back?
Small your back.
My backside. Yes, sir.
Would you ever get a tattoo or no?
No.
No.
Why?
Yeah.
Both of you guys would never get tattoos.
No,
why?
I just don't need a hot needle injecting ink into me.
I feel like you would enjoy it because you seem a guy that would enjoy the pain.
That likes pain?
Yeah.
No, I don't really enjoy pain. I try to avoid being in pain at all costs.
Okay.
You know, I don't seek out pain every day.
Have you thought about getting a tattoo?
Never.
Never.
Once.
Never.
No. I just don't think I would like something just permanently inked on my body.
Yeah. And my old man would kill me. I can't really say on the podcast what he told me when I was younger if I ever showed up at home with a tattoo because it would have gotten ugly. I would have gotten.
It's gotten so normalized now.
From the organization. Given the brash nature of what my father told me. He said, you come home with a tattoo or an earring.
Mm-hmm. Oh, an earring's under that, too.
I'll tell you off the
podcast. Yeah, I would never get an earring. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I would never get an earring. That was never – I don't think, A, I would look good with an earring. Because
I don't look
good with hats either.
No hats?
You've never seen me wear a baseball hat.
No. That's
it's a thing. My sister.
100% a thing.
She's got a hat face. She can pull off any hat. It depends on the hat.
I couldn't
wear a
hat.
Kelly, how do you think you do in prison?
Oh, I'd be good.
Yeah, you're a tough cookie.
I'm tough. I'm a lot tougher than I appear.
Okay.
Steven doesn't know me very well, but you've known me for quite some time.
She would have general population under full control. You'd be the ringleader.
I would.
So what would be your first plan, though, when you got in? Like, you want to make friends with the ones that are scary? Or, like, how would you go about it?
No,
they
would know pretty quickly once I got in there, like, I'm the man.
And how would they know this? What about you
screams,
because
Mr.
this
macho.
Is the guy? No, it's not macho.
It's not.
See,
once I get in there,
got to be more than that.
Once I get in, they're like, this is a guy we need to hitch our wagon to. Number one, I'm going to get stuff in there that shouldn't be in there. No, I will. And I'm friends with everybody.
This is true.
So I will settle, whatever discrepancy we may have. And I thought about all this because while we were passing Alcatraz yesterday.
So the brainstorming for the podcast, do you like that?
I was like, I wonder how long the three of us would potentially survive in prison. Now, the good thing is, if you were in maximum security and you were in there for life or doing something you shouldn't have, sounds like you would have been gone in a hurry.
Yeah.
What about solitude? We were talking about that a little
solitary.
Bit. Solitude.
Oh, my God. When they, like, lock you in a room
and, solitary.
And it's dark.
That sounds amazing.
And you're just there. Kyle would thrive.
Yeah.
You know what I've honestly struggled with? I've struggled with being on the road and, like,
don't get
being
too
in
personal
my
here. I don't
hotel room. And sitting there for like 15 minutes, and I'm like, yo, you need to be comfortable with not doing anything. I'm like, okay, let me go work out. Okay, let me go do this.
In solitude, being by yourself.
I know. I need to work on that because I would not do well in that. I'd rather be out with the boys in prison than not like be by myself.
This podcast is getting a little deeper than I expected on a Sunday.
No,
it always does.
On a Sunday morning.
Yeah. It always does.
We're going to work on that. That's going to be a goal for Steven.
That's just not to
season.
Do anything.
Just to be okay with being
with
himself.
No, I don't
want to
hear that. You should always be doing something.
Well, which one now?
No, you have to be. Okay. What you mean, though, is being okay with just being alone by yourself and just
not doing anything.
Not doing anything. Just kind of maybe find a hobby.
Yeah.
Do you have any hobbies outside of working out, tanning? And
we'll play basketball. Like, basketball is really fun.
Well, it's like that falls under the workout category, I feel.
It's like reading?
Reading's a hobby.
What's the last book you read, Stephen?
Well, I'm reading the one that Nelly gave me on the
Which
98
is?
Yankees.
He's reading about himself.
Yeah.
He is.
Nelly's reading it as well.
Yeah, Nelly finished it.
He finished
was a part
it and
of
he
it.
Gave it to you.
And he gave it
I
to you.
I mean,
yeah.
Yes, of course he was a part of it, but that's where.
Alcatraz. That was really cool, though, just the whole ferry ride. That was not a ferry. That didn't remind me of a ferry. That was going quick.
It was hauling. It was.
I also
we were
got
boogying.
To thinking a group of our pitchers went over to Alcatraz, and I just got to thinking how many of those guys, if I stuck them in the water, would have gotten themselves across. Now, keep in mind, there are very few stories about anybody swimming across the water. And from the group of guys that I saw, and you know what? I'm going to name every single one of them by name so I do this justice.
This is going to get you in trouble.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Watch. I'm going to look at this one more time, and I'm going to tell you how many of these guys would have stood maybe like 5 minutes in the water.
Write down this
like,
time code.
Like fought for their lives.
I'm not participating in this game.
Why? Why? I don't think we have many players.
I don't think I should judge when I know I wouldn't make it myself. So
no, I wouldn't either, but we have one guy I think would make it because he would just giddy up and go, and it's Peyton Burdick. I think if you stuck Peyton Burdick in those cold, frigid waters and said, you got to get to San Francisco, he wouldn't think twice.
When did you learn how to swim? Did you guys have swim lessons?
I learned how to swim before I learned how to walk. My mother was an Olympic swimmer. So me, my brother, and sister.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
I know. So we all learned how to swim before we learned how to walk. We were in there like little fish swimming around in the pool.
Wow.
So that's where, though, I'm curious to know the swimming strengths of the guys on the team. That I don't know.
Just know how to doggy paddle and then do the regular.
It was J.J. Bledé who was the swimmer, right? Former Marlin.
I think he was a swimmer. He had the body of a swimmer.
We had a former
the
swimmer.
The body of a swimmer.
But I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, like his shoulders were so broad.
Broader shoulders.
His upper
lanky.
Half was ginormous.
Lanky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He wasn't necessarily.
Similar to
lanky,
Marius. Marius was a swimmer.
Yes.
Yes.
I do know that. Yes.
Yeah.
I got my swim lessons at the New York Sports Club.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
What about you, Kyle? Upstate New York. Where do they teach
mine,
you guys how to swim?
Yeah, I got mine in an above ground pool in my backyard.
Mom and dad?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I mean, it was fairly easy. I mean, you get
Sevy can't swim.
I was going to say something that would have got me in trouble.
Really?
And by the way, with the players thing, I don't care if you go tell every single one of them that Kyle said, you know what, he doesn't think you're making. I hope they all hear this. And I am picking on them. I am. I don't think some of those guys are making it. I know for a fact not a lot of them are making it. That's why, don't they, like, just toss babies in a pool and they just naturally go on their back?
Well, no, you toss a baby because I taught kids how to swim for a very, very long time. The first thing you teach them is how to lay on your back.
Which I can't do.
And you don't know how to float?
I don't. When I'm
well,
in
then
the ocean,
you wouldn't make it either.
You're probably right. Why is that, though? Because, like, my mom will always tell me, just breathe, and I'll be like this. And as soon as I breathe, the nose goes down, and then everything
you have to put
else.
Your chin back. You almost, like, arch your back, and you kind of, like, spread out there, and you float.
Yeah.
Chin back, looking up at the sky. Look at all the pretty clouds.
Yeah, I try to do that in the ocean. It doesn't
and relax.
Work. It doesn't work for me.
That's the first
well,
thing
the
you
ocean,
teach
Well, in the
ocean,
you're, like, petrified that the salt water is going to get in your mouth, and it's absolutely disgusting. I hate the ocean.
You hate the ocean? Both. Well, okay, these are the New Yorkers up in here.
No. I love the ocean.
You love the ocean.
Love it.
This one, well, upstate New York. That makes
I don't
sense.
Like the sand, and I don't like the ocean. I can do without the salt water. The view is fine from afar.
Salt water is so good for you.
So good for your skin.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Great.
So good for your skin.
So is a shower.
Heals your wounds.
So is a bath. So is a shower.
Does. Also clears the nostrils, too.
Exactly.
So does a neti pot.
You're big on the neti pot.
Yes.
You love the neti. How has that been working for you? Because we
it's
did
great.
Talk about that.
Every third day I use it, and I think it helps. It
even on the road?
It's a lot. Every third day.
You bring
day.
It with you.
Well, usually every day at home, but I try to make sure I do it at least every third day.
On the
I
road.
Forgot
you
it
bring
on this
it,
trip.
Though. No?
I forgot it on this trip.
And how are your sinuses doing?
No, it's
doing?
Good. I think it helps me breathe more. Sometimes I find myself trying to catch my breath, but when I do it the morning of, I find that I just plow through the games without.
Wow.
Having an issue.
That's a pro tip for you.
Yeah, his voice sounds great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just burped up garlic fries, though.
Which were fantastic. I still have some sitting there.
You should come. If anybody comes to Oracle Park, they are famous for their crab sandwich and garlic fries.
Which was very good. I had that.
The crab sandwich
the
sounds
crab
very
sandwich
good.
Was
Do you have
good.
Any toppings on it or no? Did you have like aioli sauce?
However they handed it to me. I took out the tomatoes.
Do you have a condiment of choice for certain things? Like, I know you guys rip me for the eggs with ketchup.
My dad does that, too. My dad likes to put ketchup and mustard on everything.
And I did rip you, but it's not that I dislike it. Nobody over the age of 5 should be putting ketchup on their eggs.
You think?
No, I know, Stephen.
Ian Kelly's dad.
He knows. I know. You're my dad. With the ketchup on everything.
Honey mustard barbecue guy. And spicy
honey mustard.
Mustard.
Okay. I'm a mayo person. I like to put mayo on my
mayo
sandwiches.
Too. Oh, my God.
Mayo and fries. That
mayo
whole mix.
And like tilapia.
And I didn't like mayo for the longest time. Longest time, I wouldn't even try it. I don't know when I did. And I was just like, oh, this is what I've been missing.
Yeah. Mayo's fantastic.
When
about
I go
sour
to Publix,
cream?
I get
I
the
love
Chipotle
sour
mayonnaise.
Cream.
Good. Okay. Kyle, what was
Kyle's
saying?
Not a
when
sour
I go
cream
to Publix
fan.
And get a pub sub or a chicken tender wrap, I always get the criminy, the Chipotle mayonnaise on it with the Chipotle
so
cheese.
So soft with spice.
Pub subs.
I don't know if it's spicy
really?
Or not. Yeah.
I love spice.
It's great. I always
spice
thought,
everything up.
If anybody from you know, the upper end side of Publix, the executives are listening. And I will make commission off this.
Tuned in.
Because I think I would do great on commission. I think that, no, this is not, don't laugh, Steven. I think we should bring Publix inside of Lone Depot Park.
110%.
Put a stand in
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, for those listening, I'm not doing the daily specials. You're not getting the chicken tender special. It's going to be, the price point's going to be a little bit higher. But what if I put a Publix stand in Lone Depot Park? You could buy pub subs.
That would.
Chicken tender wraps.
It's one of the best
that
things
is brilliant.
Since coming down here for me to yep. go get a pub sub, especially before the beach. It is just yep.
that's the
fantastic.
Beach go to.
I think that
that's
could be
what
in
you
the
do
ballpark
down here.
By the time we come home.
I think that's a brilliant idea. Mm-hmm. We've spoken about this too, about why Publix hasn't branched out. Like and
yeah.
created their own like sub store, just specifically pub
for subs. Yeah. And they are so good. They could
so
do it
good.
Easily.
They should.
I like,
to
do the combo meals with their Publix lemonade.
Oh, I didn't.
It's
do that.
Really good. Take my word for it.
Yeah. So and no free ads, but Publix should definitely come to the ballpark. I think it would be.
I'm
great.
With you.
So
I
wrote.
That's genius.
I wrote down like a couple of topics here.
Okay.
Okay.
Unless you want to
keep talking about
pub
subs and.
We probably should. I don't want to, but we probably should.
Okay. Well, can we do some random stuff and then get into baseball?
Yep.
So I wrote down Kyle's back. Basketball game, my Spanish classes, the boat ride, which we already covered.
We had good pizza last night.
And the pizza.
The pizza was good.
Hmm.
The
there
calamari was
us.
Surprising.
There
were really
seven of us,
it.
And we split 4 10 to 12-inch size pizzas. There was a mushroom. There was a pepperoni. There was a
sausage.
Meat.
Sausage.
And then, I guess it was a pork sausage pizza. And then your
margarita, I think, right?
Yeah, just a gold medal margarita.
The calamari, I did not was not a fan of because I like the breaded on
right
you know
it
was a little bit too bougie for me
I didn't know that was possible
little,
too bougie for you
it is a little couscous
wow.
in there I was like this is
yeah
that's
what
I was
good
couscous
for.
Was good though it had a little kick but it had spice and you're not a spice guy
no.
so that's probably what it was no it wasn't your stereotypical
traditional.
Calamari traditional right. that's the better word for that traditional calamari but I thought it was still good I like the couscous the spices it had going there that was a nice little spot
it was that was a really
it really was
you know, we were people watching there was a Ooh. Couple of lovebirds
that guy I wonder if that guy still has not made his move
no let me give some relationship advice out here
oh boy.
Or at least I'm just gonna say overall advice for relationships. We had this individual, these two couples, nice couple, sitting on the bench, perfect view. I mean, when you talk about a really nice first date or whatever date, that's where you want to take your significant other to if you want to, you know, wine and dine them, whatever. This man was sitting on the bench, and his woman was next to him, and the woman was talking with him and looking at him, and this guy was just standing, like, just staring straight into whatever, the river, the where were we? We're on the bay?
Yeah, we were on a body of water.
On a body of water. And he just would not look over, and the girl was just waiting for him to make a
move. Yeah, good for him. It's called playing hard to get.
Yeah, no. You play
is
hard to get, you're not
your
going to get a second
Kyle?
Date.
No,
she
no.
was flipping the hair. She kept leaning in. It was
She'll
a little chilly out.
She'll be coming back from bar. That was a good move on his part.
Oh,
Don't
boy.
Give in too easily, young man.
Well, I think the whole point of this little scenario is we were people watching and trying to guess what was going on in said scenario. Remember the what we thought was a breakup
that
prior
into
to
a love triangle?
That turned into
love triangle.
That turned into then the actual. Oh yeah, we're like, oh, this is definitely a
this
breakup. Definitely
good.
A breakup. Then
yeah.
here comes like the actual significant other. Oh,
because they were so
maybe we were wrong.
They were so spaced, like weird, like
and like the arms were crossed.
It was bad body language.
It was,
but
it
was really
like they got along.
It was really like, yeah, that's my girlfriend's friend. We're pretty obvious here. We're just friends. But always good people.
I really
watch.
Think they liked each other. I think they were trying to like each other for the friend's sake.
Have we gotten any feedback on the podcast, Steven? Seriously,
On Twitter?
Yeah, just from
people. Yes, people really do enjoy it. Okay. They love the banter going back and forth.
Cool.
As we probably will switch to Marlins talk any second.
Well,
now.
To be very clear, and I'm taking full responsibility for this if we ultimately get in trouble, because I'm serious, because this podcast does fall under the organization's umbrella under the team official podcast page. But I am unfiltered, and I do know at some point we're going to get in trouble for this, and we haven't yet. I think
we haven't.
No, no,
really,
no, we have not. We have not. It's a little edgy, but I am going to be the one. And I told you this, Stephen, the day that you were hired. I said, I'm going to have your back. If anything goes wrong with this podcast, I am going to take full responsibility for it. And I do intend to get in a little bit of trouble with this thing because I know, and I'm being very serious, I feel like if this is a boring podcast, no one's going to listen. But if we're saying things that is raw and unfiltered and authentic and who we are, and we bring people inside of the radio booth.
And fun.
People are going to tend to listen. And if they're like, whoa, those guys and girls and whoever else, if they, maybe they shouldn't have said that, whoa, I'm okay with a whoa.
And they're tuning in for the next one.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
See if they get in trouble, because we'll come back and say we got in trouble for this.
And any thought, and I say that I'm serious about the following as well.
You're entitled to your opinion.
That's exactly right.
I think that everyone should respect each other's opinions.
And people should keep that in mind more often in this world, that people are entitled to their opinions, and you may not agree with my opinion, but you should respect my opinion.
And if they're going to listen in, that's what they're going to hear.
And that's my TED Talk. So we can do baseball talk now, Stephen.
Okay. Well, we're 46 games in.
Mm-hmm.
Braxton Garrett threw probably his best – would you say that's his best outing of his career? That we saw yesterday, close to it.
No, it was one in D.C.
There was
July
the one,
4th last
right?
Year was
okay,
his
that
best,
was fantastic.
Maybe most efficient one.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He was fantastic.
Braxton was awesome. We're 46 games into the season. Luis Arraez is nowhere
unreal,
looking like he's gonna slow down. Brian De La Cruz is on a major league leading hit streak right now. I mean, things are going pretty well as far as the team goes. Skip Schumacher. I mean, I'm just giving you all.
Yeah, yeah.
Some broad stuff here. But I think 46 games into the season, I ask you this. Are the Marlins where you think they are, like what you expected them to be at this point? Are they overachieving? Are they underachieving? I will throw it to you, Mr. Honesty. Where are we evaluating this season 46 games in?
I'm not sure, because I think water will find its level when it comes to the one-run games. They're 15-2 in one-run games. I don't think that is a sustainable pace throughout the course of the season. But what I am extremely encouraged by, this is a team that has been very comfortable for 46 games now, playing in close games.
And why is that, and how is that?
I think that's a culture thing.
It's 100% a culture thing, because this is something I've asked, I think, every single individual in that clubhouse, and they all tell me the same exact thing. They're like, we believe that we can win those games. Last year, it was a completely different story. It was like tail under your legs. Oh, we're down one. That's it. That's the end of the world.
Right.
Type of a situation. This is different. This is a group of guys who know that they can find a way. And they found so many different ways to win those games too. It's the manufacturing the runs. That's something that we haven't seen a lot of in this organization as of recent. So this team has found ways to win the games. Now, what Kyle has to say is true. Are you to go the entire season winning these one-run games all the time? No. But something else I think that's also not sustainable, which is encouraging to see yesterday, for instance, is starting pitching.
Yes.
Starting pitching, going deeper
into
games.
Well, that's what we talked about
yesterday.
Because
we talked about this yesterday. Yeah. The two of us chatted about this a little bit yesterday. So that's another thing that's just not sustainable, is just the starting pitching being as short as they have been, but seeing like a Braxton Garrett now make that jump and just have a fantastic outing yesterday, give the bullpen some rest. That's very encouraging to see.
You know, Garrett Cooper, sorry, Steven.
Go ahead. No.
Garrett Cooper said the other day postgame at
home.
Can I
have a fry?
Yes, absolutely. They're so good.
It's a garlic
get one with some good garlic. Okay. And what is that, parsley?
Yeah. It's not a cheat day for me, but I'll have it.
Oh, my goodness.
Stop it, Steven.
This is going to be something.
So the other day when we were at home, the Marlins won a game and Garrett Cooper was interviewed postgame. And he said something along the lines of the clubhouse is different, or the vibe, or, you know, the chemistry is different than it has been in years past. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
There was public knowledge last year. There was meetings in the clubhouse, and guys were disagreeing with each other and this and that. But I think when Garrett Cooper says that, he's being honest, and I think that they do have some type of chemistry going down there. I try to stay out of there as much as possible. I don't want those guys in this booth. They don't want me down there in their clubhouse. I go down there when we're allowed to be down there. That's fine. But I do think that there is a little bit of chemistry building in there, and they are believing that whenever they step foot onto a field with a team that might have a better record, that has a better history in the last half decade,
payroll.
That people that would say they have better players, a payroll, that they're not just going to roll over and let the other team pet their bellies, and we're going to go on for 3 days, and we're going to lose three games, and we'll go home and be happy.
Yeah.
I do not think this group of guys, and I credit Kim Eng with some of the offseason moves that she made, is satisfied with just limping through 6.5, 7 months out of the season and being an embarrassment throughout baseball like they have been.
No.
They don't. These guys are professionals. They're getting paid to be out here. And I love – and now I'm going to rant a little bit. Because you know you want to know where that starts is Skip Schumacher.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He stepped in here day one and said, you're not going to embarrass yourself anymore. We're tired of it.
And people need to understand, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but being a first-year manager, people tend to forget that about Skip. Like, this isn't
normal. I
think he
forgets that sometimes.
This isn't normal that the team is winning these close games. You talk about the culture. It's easier said than done to talk about, we have it down here with the Heat, like Heat culture. You establish that culture. That sometimes doesn't work a couple years in. It's amazing that it's working this early.
Well, listen to what Skip Schumacher said post-game a couple days ago, and I love this. He studies managers, and Spoelstra is one of them. He said that's a guy that he's really followed, read a lot of articles on, and you have to give credit where credit's due. I mean, we're talking about winning close games. I mean, you and I, Steven, worked with the Heat this past season, so we know what they did during the course of the season and the number of clutch games that they played, and look how it helped them in the postseason, and it's paid off just learning how to win those high-stake games. And something else, and now I'm getting on a tangent, and something else that Skip had said, too, with the bullpen, all of them have come in these high-leverage situations that they're all kind of ready for.
The dirty innings.
Exactly. But back
baseball
to it,
talk.
Skip Schumacher deserves a ton of credit for everything that he's done and the culture that he is begun to build in such a short amount of time, but there's that work that goes on behind it, studying the managers who have done it right, who have created a culture. He's talking about culture. Exactly.
Yep.
The communication, talking to the players, the respect. You really got to love. That's something that you have to be very excited. That's something that you asked on Twitter the other day, Kyle, the last time anyone out there, fans have been excited about this Marlins organization, and it's been a long time.
Bruce Sherman deserves credit. Kim Eng deserves credit. They have invested in this franchise, and here's my only guarantee, and I'm not saying they're going to the postseason this year. I don't know how many games this team is going to win. I have loved watching every minute of them through 46 games. I don't care if that means they go on a 10-game losing streak or a 10-game winning streak. My promise is that there are people internally that are sick and tired of being a joke around baseball, and they're not going to tolerate it anymore. I believe that Bruce and Kim have made an investment in the front office, but most importantly, the players on the field with Skip Schumacher, with his staff, and they have brought the correct players in here, whether it's veterans at the tail end of their careers, younger players, making trades.
And Kyle.
They care about what's happening on the field, and I hope the fans realize that as well, that they are not going to be a joke around the league anymore.
No, it's a fun watch. Go ahead, Kelly.
They have brought in players, and Skip has said it time and time again, who love to play the game of baseball. They're not just out here collecting a paycheck. Because when you're out here collecting a paycheck, you're getting paid whether you win or you lose.
There's no attachment emotionally.
When you're there and you are playing with nine fingers and a bruised knee and you're Luis Arraez and you don't want to take a day off because you just love playing the game of baseball, or Gene Segura, as much as he has struggled to start the season, didn't want to take a day off. These are guys who love to play the game of baseball, and they're bringing in the right type of guys. My favorite movie, fun fact for everybody out there, is Miracle on Ice.
Yep.
Movie of the U.S. Olympic team. And one of the lines that I love is what their head coach, Herb Brooks, said.
Kurt Russell.
Hey, Kurt Russell. I could get on a whole other tangent about that. Oh, my goodness. And we'll talk about that because I'm not going to bore everybody with all the details I know about that movie. But the line that I love is, it's not just about the best players. I need the right players. And that's what it takes. That's why these all-star teams of just the best of the best don't always work out because they are not the right ones with the right chemistry and they don't click.
I think the attitude that has started with Skip is that he has instilled a mindset within the players that you are to hate losing more than you do winning.
Right.
And also that last year doesn't matter. Like, Skip, people always say, well, last year, Skip, this happened. He goes, I wasn't here last year.
Exactly.
I wasn't here last year. So let's move forward. There's nothing to talk about. Nothing's going to change.
Right.
Like, let's move forward. And
I've enjoyed watching them. I don't know where it goes the rest of the season. I have no idea how this team ends up. If they're 500 at the deadline, they need to consider whether they are pretenders or if they're contenders. If they're pretenders, they're going to have to unload some of the veterans that are playing well and try to build a farm system. And if they are contenders, they need to go add the correct resources to make this team better.
And 46 games in, I know we're not giving out awards, but I'm going to just put this out there in the universe. Where would Skip Schumacher be as far as manager of the year?
I think he's done a very good job.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other teams playing well. I mean, Derek Shelton in Pittsburgh would probably maybe be the guy for me.
Yep. But he's in that discussion.
Sure. He has a team that has been very, very bad for a long time, playing competitive, and the other teams around the league and other managers have taken notice of it, that the Miami Marlins have a little something to them now.
Perfect way to end it. That's where I'm
going
now.
All right. We'll see you next Sunday, everybody.
Bye.